Good morning. It's so good to see everybody today. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach this morning. Just want to give a shout out to Pastor Lisa and say thank you. And I believe the baby is due tomorrow, or I'm not sure, but it's supposed to come this week, I believe. So keep them in prayer. That baby will be a healthy little boy, and we're looking forward to eventually. I know that Erica will be this way with the grandbaby, and we'll all get to see the new grandchild. But keep her in prayer. I know when I'm away, I always think about the church, especially on this time at this point, and praying. I'm sure she is praying for you, and can't wait to be back here next Sunday, Lord willing. But last night, I had a dream, a really weird dream. You ever had a weird dream? Like, I had this table over here, and it was like before I got ready to preach this morning, and I had this, like this huge banner, and I was painting this heart on this banner, and there were some visitors that were here in my dream, and they had two girls. And you know how girls are. They came up, and they're curious, and they wanted to see what I was drawing, and they were looking at my heart, and going, I don't know if that's a good heart or not. And it was, you know, I'm not the best painter anyway or artist, so I'm just working. I'm going, yeah, it needs to be a little bit bigger, and I'm trying to make it a little bit bigger and all. And, you know, and then I'm thinking, while I'm drawing, why am I drawing that? I'm not preaching on Valentine's. I mean, why am I making this heart? And I couldn't figure it out. And then, you know you're kind of like in a dream at some point, but you can't fully wake up. And I got there where it's like, okay, I'm not fully awake yet, but I'm trying to figure this out. And then I woke up, and I was still thinking about this dream. I was going to the restroom, and I got in the bathroom, and I go, it's my anniversary. That's why. Today is Gidget and I's 34th wedding anniversary. Yeah. And we're excited to be here. We actually took last week and went to Wilmington, North Carolina, and went to the beach out there. And I had a good time at Wrightsville Beach. But it's good to be here today. And I was going to preach a different message. And about 2 weeks ago, the Lord just began to change my train of thought. And I guess because I knew my anniversary was coming up, and you know how you begin to think about things, you know, and reflect back on 34 years and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking back because I was remembering when I went to Southeastern, I used to call it Bridal College back then, and because a lot of the girls were going there to find a man to marry, a pastor, you know. And so it was pretty much expected if you went to Southeastern single that by the time you graduated, you also had a wife. And so as I came on my senior year, I didn't have a wife yet and was pretty content not having one at that moment. And so I started interviewing at churches. And so these pastors they would meet with me. They'd say, oh, your resume, everything looks great, but I think we're just going to go in a different direction. And so, like, there was this one church in Ocala I was really hoping I could get on staff on, and so I was hoping to be their youth pastor, and so I started pressing him. I said, well, why? Why won't you hire me? He says, well, you know, you're not married yet, and we don't want a single man working with our girls in the youth and that kind of thing. I said, okay, well, that makes sense. And so that happened a couple more times to me where I couldn't seem to get a church because of not being married. And so I left Southeastern without ever getting married. And thankfully, after some time, I got hired on at a church in Beaufort, South Carolina, Praise. And finally, at the age of 26, which back then was old if you weren't married. Now that's young. But back then, if you were 26 and you weren't married, you were, you know, pretty much, why aren't you married yet? And so I was so grateful when Gidget came in our life, and you know, it couldn't have worked out any better. When I think of God's goodness to me, you know, I'm so thankful I didn't just marry somebody to have a wife. Because I don't know if my life would have turned out the way it did, but God has been so faithful to Gidget and I. You know, we're blessed. I mean, we really are. We're blessed more than we deserve. We have three wonderful children. Lauren's doing well. You know, Kathleen prayed for our oldest daughter who's getting ready to have her third grandchild, or our third grandchild. And looking forward to that coming up next month. And she married a wonderful man, Hayden, and he's super. I couldn't ask for a better son-in-law, you know. I gave him a lot of grief when he tried to court my daughter. Matter of fact, he came into my office and when I was pastoring in Greer and said, Mr. Athey, he called me, didn't call me pastor, he just called me Mr. Athey. He says, I want to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. I said, well, I'm glad you're asking, but I didn't know it was up for debate yet. I said, let me talk it over with my wife and we'll think about it and we'll have you come over for dinner one day. And so he was like shocked that I didn't say yes right away. Well, because that was my oldest daughter. That was my baby girl. That's the one first one we were going to let go of. I wasn't just going to give her away. I wanted to make sure he was going to take care of this precious girl that I was about to put in his hands. And sure enough, he's done more than that, and he's just a great dad. And we have two grandsons from them, and one another one on the way, and the oldest one's only four. And this morning he got up before church while his parents were getting ready, and he built this big log cabin house with windows in it and everything all by himself at four. I mean, just smart as a whip. I'll show you a picture afterwards because, you know, I like to brag on him. And the other one, the oldest one, he builds. He just likes to make things, build things. He's always with his hands. The other one is all people and animals. He loves anything and everything that has life. And I just love little Hudson, too. And then my son is doing well. In 2 months, he'll finally get married. Can you believe it? Yeah, it's taken him forever to get married. I mean, less than a year we were married. I mean, I think it's been 4 or 5 now he's been dating her. But finally, we're going to finally have a wonderful daughter-in-law that we've been waiting on. And then hopefully we're going to have some more grandchildren because, you know, I start hitting them up as soon as they get married for grandchildren. But hopefully we'll have some more from them. And he's doing well. And he finished his second degree from Greenville Tech and doing good. And then our youngest, She's our youngest and scattered brain as always, but she is just full of life and full of adventure, and you never know from day to day what she's going to be doing next. And right now, she's down in Somerville. She started her second year teaching orchestra down there and just doing a great job. And who knows? I told Gidget, I said, you know, we may wake up 6 months from now and she's headed to Colorado to teach because she wants to go explore the mountains around Colorado. You know, she got down to Somerville. She's part of a surf club. She's part of a Christian surf club. She's part of a clean the beach club. She's doing this and that. I mean, you know, she just is go, 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 go. But anyway, really excited about them. Just so, so blessed. And when I look over my life, I can't help but praise the Lord. I think Jack said that a lot this morning when he was up here. You know, when you serve the Lord, I know it's just not me, but when you serve God, you have a lot to be thankful for. I can truly say he's been good to me. I know many here this morning can say the same thing. We all have blessings in our lives that we know we did not earn, that we do not deserve. And yet God has been faithful time and time again. When others went lacking, somehow God provided for us. God has been good to you. It's not always been easy, but the Lord has kept us all through some rough times. You probably be thinking, maybe like me, I shouldn't even be here this morning. But God has been faithful. His hand has delivered us from the snare of the enemy. And I think that you can relate to Psalms 34. And I want to look at, really focus in on verses 1 through 3, though we'll look at the entire chapter. But verses 1 through 3. If David were here this morning, what kind of worshiper would David be? How would David praise the Lord? Because I believe that when David would gather to worship, he came to worship God. I believe if David were here this morning, he would say, my focus this morning is to praise the Lord. It's to worship him. In verse 1 of chapter 34, he says, and I'm reading from the New King James, but he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. David says, man, I'll bless him on the good days and on the bad days. When I'm on the mountaintop and when I'm in the valley, I will bless the Lord at all times. He goes on to say, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That word continually says, man, all the time his praise will be on my lips. In other words, it's not just on Sunday. On Monday, his praise will be on my lips. On Tuesday, his praise will be on my lips. On Wednesday, his praise. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to live my life to give him praise. His praise will always be on my lips. Verse 2. My soul shall make boast in who? In the Lord. Why? He's saying, I can't brag about me. It's not because of me that I'm here today. It's because God has been my help, my strength, my source. Where I am today is not by my own ability and my own strength. It's because of God's goodness to me. He says, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. That tells me a lot right there. Number one, he's not going to be quiet about it. But also, he's saying, listen, those that are humble, those that aren't proud, those that know that they need a God. How many of you like that with me? You know I need God. You know, that's what the Bible says when Jesus taught it. He says, the poor in spirit will inherit the earth. It's those who know that they can't do life without God, that their hearts are humble before him, and they're saying, God, it's not because of me, it's because of you. He says, those type of people, they don't mind me praising God. Because when I praise God, it rings true to them. And they're going, yes, yes, that encourages me. That strengthens me to hear you praise the Lord. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. What David is saying is saying, don't make me praise God by myself. I want you to get up and praise him too. I want you to worship him too. You know what I found out about worshipers? They really are some kind of crazy people from time to time. Because, man, their worship is so pure before the Lord, it's just contagious. I may have shared this before a long time ago, but man, when we were in Beaufort, we had this guy who had Down syndrome. He was probably in his early 40s, and he would sit beside me at church. And when it came time to worship, man, he'd have his Bible, and many times it was upside down. He didn't know, but he'd have it in his hand, and he would hold it real tight like this, and he would just go like this, and he would just praise the Lord. And it was such an contagious thing. You couldn't just sit there and watch him. You had to praise God too. It would just bring a tear to your eye to watch this young man, older than me at the time, praise the Lord, because it would just bless your heart. You know? Praise is contagious. If someone starts praising the Lord, the body of Christ ought to rally around them and praise the Lord with them, right? So, if David were here this morning, he would say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If you got your Bibles out, you may notice at the top of chapter 34, there's a phrase there that tells us when this was written. It was written in David's life. If I read mine to you, it says this, a psalm of David, when he pretended to be madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to, or you can just listen. But in chapter 1 Samuel 21, beginning in verse 10. Now, let me give you some background real quick. At this point in David's life, he's young. At this point in David's life, he's not the king yet. At this point in David's life, King Saul is still alive and very active. And he is very jealous of David. And he doesn't want David to continue on the path that he's going. Because if he continues on the path that he's going to soon be the king. And Saul wants his son, Jonathan, to be the king. And Saul has been getting angrier and angrier at David. He's been throwing spears at him. And finally, Jonathan and David meet. And Jonathan says to David, "No, I can't believe my dad really wants to kill you." And David's like, "I think he does." And Jonathan says, "Well, let me just go talk to him one more time, and then I'll let you know." So David hides out in the fields. Jonathan goes to talk to David, to Saul. And while he's talking to Saul, Saul gets angry. He gets angry, so angry at Jonathan. He says, "Jonathan," he says, "you know that David wants to be king, and you're going to allow it to happen. You're such," and he calls him a wicked name. And he says, "You're such a blankety blankety blank." And he picks up his spear, and he, boom, right at Jonathan. And Jonathan ducks at the last minute and misses it. And he knows then for a fact that Saul is going to kill David if David stays in the palace. So he runs out to the field. He lets David know, and David takes off running. David takes off running, and all David has is the clothes on his back. He's running, and he's running. He's young. He's scared. The king is after him. What is he going to do? And he's running. He comes to a city called Nob. He gets to Nob. There's a priest there, not Abimelech, but Ahimelech, which is very close. And he talks to his priest, and he lies to his priest because he's so scared. He says, "I'm on a secret mission from King Saul." He says, "But I had to leave quickly, and I don't have any bread for me or my men. And my men aren't with me, but they're going to meet me such and such, and I just need some food. Do you have anything to eat?" And the priest says, "Well, the only thing we have is the sacred bread." He said, "You can have it if you and your men have not been sleeping with their wives. I'll give it to you, because then it won't cause you harm." So David says, "Thank you." He takes the loaves of bread and packs them in some kind of sack. And then he remembers, "You know, I probably need some way to defend myself." So he says, "You know, I'm on such a secret and fast mission, I didn't even have time to pick up a sword. Do you have a sword laying around? Or some kind of weapon?" And the priest says, "Well, we have the sword that you used to chop off King Saul's head. We can give you that sword. It's Goliath's head. We can give you this sword." And so they gave him Goliath's sword. And he tucked it away, and he took off running. Now we pick it up in verse 10. In verse 10, "Then David arose and fled that day before Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Wait a minute. I thought he was that king Abimelech. Well, let me kind of help you out a little bit, because, you know, back in chapter 34 of Psalms, it says Abimelech. What does it mean here? Well, Philistine kings were much like Egyptian kings and other kings of their days. They had multiple names. So one of the names for the king of Gath was Abimelech. Some scholars even believe that's how they called their king, like you would call Pharaoh, you know, and then the other name might be, you know, Ramsey or whatever. So it's still the same person, just they have multiple names, okay? "And went to King Achish, king of Gath." That's an interesting place to go. Anybody remember what's so important about Gath? Gath is where someone that David killed is at. Remember, David took Goliath's head? Goliath was from Gath. That is his hometown. Gath is one of five Philistine cities. He happens to be the closest to him, and that's where he runs to, because he still is going to have food. He's still going to have to find a place to survive. So he thinks, you know what? I'm going to go there, and maybe I can just slide in, and nobody will notice me. He's scared. He doesn't know what to do. He runs to Gath. He gets there, and you can imagine he's got the sword kind of tucked away, because I'm sure the sword, if they saw it, they would know that it's a Philistine sword and that it was Goliath's sword. And they would know him if they recognized him. And he's scared. He's in the city, and sure enough, he gets recognized. Verse 11, and the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s? That's not good. 10,000s is a lot more than thousands. He's definitely an enemy. Verse 12, and now David took these words to heart. He was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. David knows he's in trouble. But David, who knew, was an actor. And he could act pretty well. And he had this plan, I guess, or it just came on him in the last second. I'm going to act crazy. Like I'm mad. And he begins to act like he's crazy. He begins to slobber all himself. He goes to the wall close to him, and he's like banging the wall, probably banging his head against the wall. He's acting as crazy as he can. We read in verse 13, so he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Now, why would David play like a madman? Well, in their day, there was this ancient superstition that if you were crazy, the gods were angry at you and they were punishing you. And so you didn't want to add to the punishment of the gods. So in other words, you wouldn't want to kill them. You wouldn't want to hurt them. Because if you did, then the gods were then going to get you, because the gods had already issued their punishment on a person. And King Achish must have thought, I don't want to touch you. I mean, you were once a fighting machine. You were once well in mind, but now you are crazy. I'm not going to mess with you. Get out of here. Get out of my sight. You're cursed by the gods. You're going to bring us bad luck. Get out of here. And David escapes. He runs to a cave, which David will begin to find that caves are places of safety. And he sits down and he sings this song to the Lord. And he must have wrote it down. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many of us could say the same thing, right? How many times have we been in trouble and cried out to God, and God saved us? Verse 7, I like this verse, you probably do too. The angels of the Lord, and that means God himself, encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Listen, whatever you're going through, you're not alone. God is with you. He encamps around you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let me just pause there. You know, I can't leave a food illustration out. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When I was a kid growing up, my mom, for a long time, my mom and dad were separated, and so my mom took care of us, and she was a nurse, and so we had breakfast in the mornings, and most of our breakfast was a box of cereal. I can't remember her ever cooking breakfast except on special occasions. And so we had our boxes of cereal, and I remember eating cornflakes. Do you remember cornflakes? With a rooster on the box. It's the one without any fruit or anything like that, you know, nothing thrown in it, you know, it's just cornflakes. And when I get my cornflakes, I know I shouldn't have, and I don't know why my mom let me do it, but I would get the sugar dish, and I would take 3 big lumps of sugar and put in it. It'd be so much sugar on that cornflakes. Oh, man, it was so good. I started eating it and just, oh. And then you got towards near the bottom of it, the sugar actually formed in the bottom of the bowl. And I could just scoop the sugar up with a cornflake on it. Oh, it was good. I used to love my cornflakes like that. Well, this I know this is, seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't back then. In 1988, cornflakes came out with a new commercial trying to get everybody to get back home, because by then you had Fruit Loops and you had Sugar Smacks and you had all the good cereals out there, you know, so they wanted to get us all those old people to come back and eat cornflakes again. So they had a commercial, and the slogan to their commercial was this: taste them again for the first time. Taste them again for the first time. And you know, I wasn't married to Gidget yet. And matter of fact, we weren't even dating, so I had to go buy me a box of cornflakes, put that sugar on it, and taste it again for the first time. And oh, was it good again. Can I tell you, I think that's what David's saying in this verse. He's saying this, he's saying, taste God again for the first time. Maybe it's been a while since you tasted the goodness of God. But God, David's saying, oh, join me in tasting God. Worship him this morning. Give him praise for the first time, like it's your first time again. And give him praise. Worship him. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. Notice the phrase is repeated twice. Fear the Lord. When something's repeated twice, you take note. Also, we read in verse 7 the phrase, fear the Lord. It says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Back in the old days, they used to have the old ball stadiums, the old baseball stadiums, the football stadiums. A lot of them have been torn down now for better technology, box seats, you know, all the stuff that they have in modern stadiums today. But in the old stadiums, some of them had these pillars that were like in the strangest places. And you would go to sit down, and if your seat was behind a pillar, you couldn't see, which I always thought was the craziest thing, right? Because you're sitting behind the pillar, and you hear the crowd cheer, ah, and you have to turn to your partner on the other chair and say, what just happened? Can you tell me? Or the chair goes, oh, then you go, turn, what happened? And they tell you. I've been into a church or two like that, Glad Tidings in Greer. They have pillars in the middle of their sanctuary. And if you sit by, and they got pews behind them, so if you sit behind it, you can't see the platform. You have to kind of like lean over. One time our church, we were enjoying their church, and we had the place packed out, and people were going like this while I was preaching, you know, back and forth. It was the funniest thing. But they couldn't see. People who fear the Lord, what he's saying here is you have a respect for God so much that you don't want to live in disobedience. You want to live your life as holy as you can. Not that we're perfect. Thank the Lord that he forgives us. Matter of fact, if you get a chance tonight, go back and read Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4. That's one of my favorite passages. Because he talks about how God forgave him and how excited he is down to worship a God who forgives. But we ought to have a mentality. I want to respect this God. I want to fear this God. I want to live a righteous life. Because the one thing that will block your relationship with God is sin. It's like an obstacle. It's like that pillar that you can't see. And you have to always lean around. What's happening? What's God doing? Because you can't see it. Matter of fact, Isaiah 59:2 says this, your iniquities or your sins are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. Fear. Verse 10, I'm going to speed up a little bit. The young lions lack and suffer and hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Oh, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. This song is full of promise. Did you see all the promises that are there for us? If you look at verse 4, he promises to deliver us. Verse 6, he promises to hear us and to save us. Verse 7, he promises to rescue us and deliver us again. Verse 8, he promises to experience his goodness. Verse 9, he promises to supply our needs. Verse 15, he promises to listen to us. Verse 19, he promises to deliver us from our afflictions. Verse 22, he promises to redeem us. If you know God has been listening to you, has rescued you, delivered you, met your needs, and you've experienced the goodness of God, then when Sunday comes, you come to the house of the Lord to worship and praise him, because you have a good God and you want to give him praise, and you want others to worship him as well, because you know that if it hadn't been for God, you wouldn't be where you are today. But because of God, you're here today, your health is with you, you're able to sit here and worship a God who is worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor be to his name. Amen? David describes, if you want God's blessing on your life, you want God to hear you, you want God to listen to you when you pray, you want God to be there when you're walking through the valley, then this is what you need to do. He says in verse 2, you need to remain humble. You got to be hungry for God. You got to be just saying, I can do this by myself. No, I need God. Verse 4, we've got to seek the Lord. You got to seek his face. I read a passage of scripture in Psalms 32:8 that I memorized this week. And in the end it says, his eyes will lead them. That really meant a lot to me this week. I started thinking about that. Because, you know, Gidget and I had now been married much longer than we had been single. And I can just look in her eyes and I can know that, okay, she's told me I need to land this thing soon already. It's after 12. And I can see in her eyes, Lee, you better land it before you lose them. Because she knows me well. I know her well. I know her eyes. I know her eyes and say, I love you and I respect you. I can see her. There are times that she can look at me and I know what I need to do because of the look she gives me, even though we're in a crowd of people. I know that look. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have blown my nose there. I should have gone to the bathroom to do it because she gave me that look with her eyes. I know. When you know God and you're seeking him and you're looking towards him, he doesn't even have to speak. You can just sense his presence moving, and you just respond. He leads you. He leads you. So seek him. I implore you, seek him. Cry out to him often, verse 6 tells us. Cry out to him often. Verse 7 tells us to fear him, so verse 9. Verse 8 tells us we take refuge in him, and we trust him. Verse 13 and 14 says, watch what we say. talking to a lady this week, and she said, "Chaplain, I'm really working hard on what I say. So I haven't responded to this text yet because I know I'm going to say the wrong thing if I respond right now." I said, "Good, good. You're progressing. You're making it." Right? Verse 18, we are brokenhearted and a contrite spirit. We're humble. Again, I want to close with this. And Jack, if you'll come. Verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. I promise you they're going to be short, but I'm going to give you three closing thoughts. Number one, like David, you and I are here to praise the Lord. Like David, you and I are here to praise the Lord. I must bless him at all times. When I gather with God's people, I must be ready to worship. I must be ready to praise him. My praise should not be limited to just Sunday, but it needs to go through the week. Because like David, I know I have tasted of the Lord and he's been good to me. And I don't want to be an ungrateful soul. I want to be a soul that knows where my help comes from and gives him all the praise. Because I know, looking back at my life, when we once had a hard time for Christmas, God provided us with a Christmas tree. I remember once my car was in a shop and it needed $500. Back then, that would be like $2,000 a day to get the transmission worked on. Didn't have the money. And a check arrived in the mail from Egypt, of all places, for $500. I know it's because of God. I know he spared my life in December of 2012 when I was having a heart attack and Christian and I were driving to Columbia. And I asked Christian, I said, "Christian, pray for me." And he and I began to pray and God spared my life. I know I wouldn't be here without him. I know in 2019 when I thought my preaching days were over, thought heart failure had won, and God has given me back my heart and my ability to preach again. I know if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. I know if it weren't for God that my children would be in trouble because there were times they've been in trouble and God has been their deliverer. Don't you see? I got to praise him this morning. And I bet if you took a moment and stopped and think, you would feel the same way. You say, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here today. I've got to praise him too. I've got to worship him. Now, second point real quick. You got to praise him in spite of. For some of you, you've had a rough week. Maybe you had a rough month. Maybe it's been a rough season. And you've been fighting battle after battle. But you got to praise him in spite of. There are some Sundays when I was your pastor, I came in and I praised him in spite of. In spite of what was going on in my life, I worshiped the Lord. Remember when David wrote this song? He wasn't out of his mess yet. He was still deep trouble, right? Because he was still hiding in a cave. Saul's still after him. He still has nothing. And he's alone. But he's going to praise the Lord in spite of his situation. You wonder why David had a heart after the Lord? Because he would worship God even in his pits. Even in the worst situations, he would give God praise. You know, when you're watching a football game and sometimes when your team, the offense has got, the other team's got the ball and they're about to score, you look over the side, they show the cheerleaders, they got two signs up. They got a sign that says defense, and they got another sign that says make some noise. Why are they saying that? They're saying that because they know that if the stadium will start cheering for the defense, for their team, that eventually the offense is going to get rattled and they're going to make a mistake. They're going to jump off sides. They're going to fumble the ball. The quarterback may throw an interception, but they'll be able to hold on. When you're in trouble and your backup is against the wall, that's when you got to praise him. That's when you got to worship him. You worship him in spite of it. You worship him in spite of the fact that your car is back in the shop. You worship in spite of your marriage may be in trouble. You worship in spite of the job situation that's going bad and you don't like your boss and your boss doesn't like you. You worship the Lord in spite of. like Paul and Silas when they were in prison and they had been beaten 39 times with a whip. And they're in chains and it's midnight. And they're doing what? They're praising the Lord in spite of. Because here's the third point. Yes, I'm getting there, honey. Here's the third point, really quick. Worship him in spite of, because in spite of it all, he still loves you. God has been faithful in spite of my foolishness. God was faithful to David in spite of the fact that he left and went to a town and to Nob and lied to a priest. In spite of David's failures, God loved him and remained faithful. If you think I'm perfect, just talk to my wife. She'll tell you I have bad days. There are times I lose my temper like you lose your temper. There are times I think the wrong things of people that I shouldn't think. There are times that I blow it. But can I tell you, God has always been faithful in spite of my foolishness and sins. So I got to praise him. I got to praise him. Whether I'm on the mountain today or I'm in the valley, I've got to give God worship.